and give love to others and respect to others also. Where I don't love myself, I'm not going to be able to love others around me. I'm going to be demanding their love, but I'm not going to be able to give them any love. The same thing applies with respect. Where I have respect for myself, I'm going to be able to respect others around me. And where I don't respect myself, then my relationship with others is going to be without any sign of that respect. And again, look at it from the personal outwards, and you can see how the core value of respect has been lost. Where I don't respect myself, I don't respect this precious vehicle, this instrument that nature, the divine, has given me, this body of mine. And because of lack of respect for this body, we then abuse or misuse this physical body. We're not able to look after it properly and keep it in a state of good health and good repair. My lack of respect then extends to my family, my friends, my colleagues, the conditions in families or even schools and colleges and universities or even places of work today is marred distinctly with this feeling that there isn't any respect for people anymore. It extends out further into the whole globe, where we see that the value for human life, the respect for human life, has disappeared. A few years ago, it felt as if a barrel of oil was more valuable than a human life. I refer to the situation of the Gulf War, and human lives were not as important as a barrel of oil at that point. And so what is the value we have of human lives? It moves further from myself to the things outside. I don't respect the laws of the country in which I live. Again and again, you hear of people evading the law, trying to pretend that they're following it, but in fact, they're moving behind it. They're finding ways in which to evade it, whether it's in situations of tax, or whether it's in situations of driving, whatever it may be. The respect for the law definitely has disappeared. We don't respect the environment, the world around us, and so we've broken all the code of conduct of the natural laws around us too. We're no longer following the laws that allow us to keep our planet clean and healthy. We've been in such a state that we've forgotten that there are laws governing life here on the planet, and we've aggressed all those laws. We've forgotten about God's laws, the laws of spirituality, and the basic, simple concepts such as the law of karma. Whatever it is I do, the return of that is going to come right back to me. We forget that in day-to-day situations or in important cosmic situations. So this thing about lack of self-respect isn't just a question of self-development or something for people of leisure or people who want to explore things in airy-fairy space, but it's actually something that's having repercussions on every single aspect of our life and civilization. And the breakdown of civilization in the ways that civilization really should exist can be traced back to this factor of loss of identity, loss of understanding, loss of self-esteem. And so the first step to come back to the awareness of who I truly am. Spirituality teaches me that this body is a costume. I, the actor, the living being, adopt this costume to play my role on the stage. There's another way of looking at it. This body is my vehicle, my chariot. and I, the soul located here, am the driver in charge of this chariot, this vehicle. And as such, it's my responsibility to use this chariot for good in the right way, but also to be able to care for this chariot. In this awareness of that being that is within, and coming back to the subject of I am that being of light, the soul. Sometimes we use this expression, my soul. But no, in fact that's the topsy-turvy situation. Who is speaking if I say my soul? The reality is that I, the soul, and my body. And so the first step towards self-esteem, to come back to the awareness of I, the point of light, the eternal being, occupying this vehicle. The second aspect of self-esteem. Not only am I a soul, but I, the soul, am a child of the Creator, a child of the Divine. There's no ego connected with this, because just as I am a child of the Divine, so are you, so is every other human being. And so my vision of respect moves from beyond just my own respect for myself, but extends out to everyone else in the human family. When I forget that I'm a child of God, it's not possible for me to know that you are my sister and my brother. I'm not able to see you as my human family. And so, coming back to the awareness of being a child of God, then I know that I'm part of this unlimited global family, and each and every soul is a child of the Supreme, of the Creator. I begin to ask myself a question. When you have this feeling of closeness to God, this relationship of God, my parent, what does that actually mean? It means that whatever are the qualities of God are also the qualities of the child. Just as a child in a very natural way resembles and reflects the parents, not just in physical features, but very often in characteristics or attitudes. Similarly, the child of the Supreme is actually in the original state a reflection of the qualities of the Supreme. It's been said that we were created in the image of God. If I come to that faith and awareness that just as God has qualities of truth and beauty, I too, somewhere within all the layers of dust that have covered up those qualities, yet in fact below all those layers, there is that original truth and original beauty within the self. Through meditation, through that experience of relationship with God, I again remember that. I again emerge that quality. I again become the embodiment of those attributes. It's possible to remove all the dust, all the dirt, and emerge those same qualities and be truly the reflection of the Supreme. As I begin this journey, I recover the esteem that I used to have for myself. This method enables me to not just come back to a state of self-esteem, but in reality, to come back to the original pure beauty of the soul, so that I'm sharing that and expressing that in interaction with others. Another factor which has been a reason for moving away from self-esteem has been the divergence between conscience and life. At the point where my conscience is telling me what I should be doing, and yet I disobey, and I begin to do other things in my life, then that divergence means that I'm not able to have dignity within myself. I'm not able to hold my own head up high. I'm not able to have self-esteem. Through meditation, I begin to develop that inner power, that strength, so that I do follow the dictates of my conscience, the laws of God, the laws of spirituality in my life, and so my self-esteem begins to grow. And to whatever extent I follow through the voice of my conscience in my life, to that extent I develop my own inner confidence and dignity also. My life can be an inspiration, an example for others, that as a human being, it is possible to actually follow the path of truth and reflect God's qualities in one's life. Some of the things that have happened in our life have contributed to this loss of self-esteem. We haven't had a secure, functional family which has given us that care and love, and so our confidence in ourselves broke. At this point, coming back to the awareness of God as the parent, the mother and the father, and experiencing the security, the love, the care and the protection that God has to offer, I'm able to deal with that again, and I'm able to come back to a state of self-esteem once more. The nurture, the sustenance from God is infinite, tireless. A human mother will give love, but at some point of time will run dry. But God, the Supreme Mother, will give unconditional love and support. To that extent that I don't need to seek support from others, but rather I can be an instrument to give them love and strength also. In a state of self-esteem, where I fill myself with everything that God has to offer, I become free from dependencies, whether it's dependencies on possessions. So often where there isn't self-esteem, I surround myself with cars, with houses, with wealth, thinking that this is going to be my support. In a subtle way, I don't understand it, but that's what I'm trying to do. Create my security net through external possessions. Dangerous, because there's never going to be contentment. I'm never going to have enough to actually feel satisfied that, yes, now I can be secure. I'm constantly going to need feeding and need more and more to have the same feeling. And so it's an exercise which is endless. But the other thing is that today I have possessions, and who knows tomorrow what may happen. Maybe I won't have those possessions. Sometimes we seek contentment and fulfillment and security from our jobs, from our positions. But again, dangerous, because maybe tomorrow I'll find myself in a different position without that. And so I can't depend on possessions, position, or even people. Dangerous. Today I have their support, tomorrow who knows what may happen. And so if I allow God to become my support, God is willing to do this for me. God makes himself available for me. And through access to God and the ability to take everything from the One, I'm able to start creating a state in which I can be free from all the other external supports and have my own inner strength and confidence and self-esteem. I can build my state of independence and freedom through valuing the self, through taking the support that God offers me. Let's spend a moment in silent reflection and come into this state of awareness of who I truly am. Sitting quietly, I remind myself, I am not the body, I am the spiritual being, the soul. I, the soul, a being of light, am a child of the Supreme. In this awareness, making contact with the Supreme, God's love, God's strength, God's light fills the soul. I value myself. I value the gifts that God has given me. Keeping this awareness, I come back into the awareness of my role on the world stage, but I keep this consciousness of who I am, and I see others without value and respect. Seeing the intrinsic dignity of every human being. Om Shanti. Shanti, a greeting of peace to my sisters and my brothers. We're looking at the subject of how spirituality can help us in our daily life. And now, let's look at whether it's possible to come to a state of contentment even though we live in a materialistic world in which constantly desires multiply. Is it possible to come to contentment? It's been said that there are three factors of contentment. To be content with the self, to be content in my relationship with others around me, to be able to be content in my relationship with God. And of course, I can only be content with others around me if they also are content with me. In the same way, I can only be content in my relationship with God when I'm clear in my mind that God is content with me. Looking at the situation where consumerism, commercialism, materialism seem to be the norm of the day, we see how even little children constantly have their desires multiplying and ignited through things like television, for example. We live in a world where everything is definitely focused on through the media, and whether it's advertising, through poster campaigns, through the print, through electronic media. Everything seems to be fueling the desires within the human individual in which I want, and I want more. Is this impossible for me to be peaceful and happy if I'm not content? And whilst I'm trying to struggle with desires and trying to fulfill my desires or fulfill the desires of those around me, it's not possible for me to have stability of mind in which I can think clearly and move in the right manner. In a state of discontent, which seems to be the universal situation today, it's also become a culture of moan and groan. Constantly something to moan about, a culture of blame and complain, in which there are always external things that I blame, always things that I'm going to be complaining about. One of the first lessons of spirituality is that I am responsible for the thoughts that I create. I am responsible for the conditions of my own inner world, which means I am responsible for my emotions and my feelings, and I am responsible for the circumstances around me. Does it sound too much? And yet how can it be anything else? How is it possible in a situation where I understand that there always has to be cause and effect, and whatever causes there are lead to certain effects, and whatever action there is, there has to be reaction of that. The law of karma, the law of the philosophy of action, tells me that even though I don't always like it, I have to accept responsibility that yes, truly, I am the creator of my inner world, but also I am the creator of the world around me. And so in terms of trying to come to a state of contentment, it isn't a question of how much I have. It isn't a question of how much I don't have. It isn't a factor of what more I would like to have. Keep a wish list, and the wish list is never ever going to actually be completed. Think back to the situation of when you were a child and you thought that a bicycle was absolute heaven. If you could only have a bicycle, you'd have everything. Well, you got your bicycle probably, but what happened after that? Well, after getting a bicycle, probably wanted a motorcycle, and maybe you even got that. But when you're content, no. Then the next step was a car. Then probably the next step is a bigger car. And so multiply all the desires, and you can see how rapidly they breed and they just grow and grow. Same thing. Perhaps I want just a tiny little space for myself. And having received that, I want a big room. Then I want a big house. Not just one room, but many rooms. And so there really isn't a limit. But I can look at it in another way. I can say to myself that however much I have is actually what nature, the divine, destiny has provided for me, knowing what my needs are. It's a reality in the world of nature. The divine looks after everything, the needs of the whole of creation, and surely if I'm following the path of honesty, if I'm following God's instructions in my life, surely my needs will definitely be met. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said that there's enough in the world for everyone's needs, but there just isn't enough for anyone's greed. And the conditions today are indicating this. The resources of the world's planet in the hands of a few, and for the majority, a state of deprivation. Even if I can't change the conditions of the world immediately, I can take a step towards it by changing my own attitude and perception and the conditions around me. And then perhaps I can start making a dent in the problems of the world also. But let me begin with myself. It's possible to simplify my life and come back to a question of what are my needs rather than what are my desires. My basic needs are actually not very much at all. For most of us, our needs are being met. And so, let me create a consciousness of contentment and satisfaction within myself, appreciating that which I have. So often we don't look at what we have, we look at what others have. If I'm focusing my vision externally on the things out there, then yes, I'm going to say I want more and more and more. But if I can see what it is I have already, then I'm going to start feeling a state of contentment. There's another factor also. When I'm looking at what others have, I'm not looking at the effort that they've made to achieve whatever it is they have. For example, if I'm looking at my neighbor's garden and the garden is full of beautiful flowers and I say, oh, I wish my garden were like that. Well, in the time when my neighbor was digging the earth and working hard in the garden, cleaning out the weeds and planting in the seeds and watering those seeds, I wasn't willing to make that effort. I wasn't willing to do that work. And so when I was being lazy and sitting down in a comfortable armchair, my neighbor was working hard. I don't remember that. I just see the results and I see the beautiful flowers in my neighbor's garden. But in fact, there's been effort invested that has brought those beautiful results. And if today I'm willing to make the same effort, whatever is the goal that I set for myself, I'll be able to achieve those results also. And so contentment also comes from knowing that if I'm honest in my effort, the results I'm going to receive are going to be absolutely what is right. There can be no question of injustice or inequality in this. Effort and result, there's a law which is universal, which is cosmic, which makes sure that both come out equally balanced, effort and the result of the effort that's been made. And so to come to a state of contentment within myself, let me deal with desires. Let me appreciate the gifts that God has already given me. When there's a sense of inner gratitude and thankfulness, then I feel very content. I feel very happy. If I were to write down all the gifts that God has given me, even up to today, never mind what more I would like to have tomorrow, but truly, through my whole life, let me just simply thank God for what God has given me up until this moment of time, all the things that I have with me today. It's like when I'm moaning and groaning about a few aches and pains, and I see others who are suffering much more than I, it makes me appreciate the fact that these little pains and aches are not a very big problem at all. I need to put things into perspective. And so let me appreciate. In the feeling of gratitude for what God has given me, there's a great sense of gratefulness, there's a sense of contentment that can allow happiness to grow and develop. In a state of discontent and desires, it's not possible for me either to be peaceful or to be happy. And so contentment with myself first of all comes from appreciation. Not just the appreciation of the physical things that I have, but even more so, let me appreciate the gifts, the talents, the specialities that nature, the universe, God has given me. And when I start appreciating my own gifts, then I also start using them and sharing them in service of others. And that brings me blessings from them also. And I'm able to take benefit from that further. Contentment also comes from knowing that I am the writer of my own destiny, the creator of my own destiny. If destiny is a picture, then I am the one with the pen to be able to draw the line of destiny for myself. At this moment of time, how I use all that I have is going to create my destiny for myself. I can be very content knowing that it's in my hands, I am responsible, and I can choose whatever it is I want for my own future. How can I have contentment with those around me? Sometimes we say, if only it wasn't for this individual, my life would be so much easier, so much more comfortable. We forget that that individual has come into my life, perhaps to be my teacher, perhaps to teach me lessons that otherwise I wouldn't have learned. And so let me appreciate the individual who's causing me great discomfort, because that's also a way to be able to have spiritual development and progress. It's possible to see the beauty in every single human being, to see the uniqueness of the role of every human being. And when I focus my vision in this way, seeing their specialities, seeing their talents, seeing the things that they're doing, which perhaps I can't do, let me appreciate them, and then I will be more content in my dealings with them, and my appreciation in a very genuine way of them is going to bring a response of contentment from them for me also. And so seeing specialities is important. Another thing is humility. When people pick up ego from me, then there's going to be discontent. There's going to be many problems.